This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on assembly election in Jammu and Kashmir. The participants are Hakim Irfan Rashid, senior journalist, and Ishfaq Shah, Akashvani correspondent. Moderator is Rajesh Lake.
It's my pleasure to welcome Ishfaq Shah, Akashvani correspondent, Jammu and Kashmir, and Mr. Hakim Irfan Rashid to the studios of Akashvani. A warm welcome.
Thank you.
My question to Ishfaq is, if rather a request, to give us the overview to the general elections, to the Legislative Assembly of Jammu and Kashmir.
Voting, as you know, is scheduled to start from 18th. The notifications for all three phases have come. Today, notification for the third phase has also come. For the first phase, the election will be held on 18th. It will be as many as 24 assembly voting. It will be held in 24 assembly constituencies in two segments of Jammu and Kashmir. One we call as Chenab Valley, that falls in the Jammu region. And second, in the Kashmir Valley, that we call as the South Kashmir parts. In Jammu region, it includes the districts of Doda, the assembly constituencies which fall in the district of Doda, Kishtwar and Ramban. And in Kashmir region, the assembly elections, which will go to polls on in the first phase, will be held in Anantnag, Pulwama, Kulgam and Shopian district. All four of these districts fall in the southern part of Kashmir Valley. So far, the total nominations that were received for the first phase were 279, and after scrutiny, at least 35 were found invalid. And now after withdrawals, there are 219 nominations, 219 candidates in fray, whose fate will be decided by the voters on 18th of September for the first phase. For the second phase, the notification was also issued on 29th of August, and today was the last date of filing the nominations. In this phase, as many as 26 assembly constituencies will go for vote. It is also, divided in two parts. One is the Pir Panjal range of Jammu division, which includes the districts of Yasi, Rajouri and Punch, and also the central Kashmir parts, which includes the assembly constituencies that fall in the district of Badgam, the capital city Srinagar and Gandharbal. And for the third phase, the notification was issued today only, and as many as 40 assembly constituencies will go undergo voting on the 1st of October for this phase. This phase will be the last phase for the assembly elections here. In this phase, as many as 24 assembly constituencies will go for voting in Jammu region and 16 in Kashmir. The voting will be held in the Jammu central part, which includes the main Jammu district, Samba, Kathua and Udhampur. And in Kashmir, the northern districts of Baramulla, Kupwara and Bandipora will go for voting.
So you mentioned about the three phases and the Jammu region and the Kashmir region, and different areas will come under these regions, and the constituencies have been divided, I think 40 you said in the third phase. So these are quite a wide area that we are talking about. How are the logistics and security issues being taken care of? Irfan, I would like to ask you on that.
Two, three things. You have to understand that these elections were announced after a gap of 10 years. So the last assembly election in J&K conducted in 2014, the winter of 2014. So after that, when these elections were announced on the 16th of August this year, the government had plans, as far as the security arrangements are concerned, they had plans that the deployment that has come here for the Amarnath Yatra, that was going on at that point of time, and it concluded on 19th of August. So they put all of those security arrangements. They were not resent to their original destination. They were kept in Jammu and Kashmir. So as far as the security scenario and paraphernalia is concerned, they kept them there. And then recently they got the additional companies of the paramilitary forces to ensure that this election happens peacefully and without any incident. So the security forces that were here for the Amarnath Yatra, plus the extra deployments that were sent here in the last couple of weeks. So this will be the larger framework for the security forces and for the armed forces to operate and ensure that an election is conducted peacefully. Overall, the number of militant incidents and the number of stone pelting incidents have reduced in the last few years, but there have been recent incidents in Jammu that has worried the security establishment, but they have made it absolutely sure a number of times that they are ready for the peaceful elections and arrangements are well in place. And besides that, we have seen the Election Commission of India in their offices in Jammu and Kashmir have also made elaborate arrangements to reach out to the last villages across the Jammu and Kashmir to ensure that the elections are conducted peacefully, without any incident, and to the satisfaction of all the stakeholders.
So these are the logistics that we talked about. So Ishfaq, what is the general mood amongst the people of Jammu Kashmir? What is the current composition of Jammu and Kashmir's political landscape?
As Irfan mentioned, that the election is held after a very long time. The mood is as good as it was in parliamentary elections. People are ready to vote. People are ready to actually vote their candidates and vote their representatives to the assembly. And overall, when going through the different places of Jammu and Kashmir, you will see political activities have geared up. Political parties and political leaders are reaching up to their constituencies and up to their people. You see the dance of people who are actually very enthusiastic about voting in this election. And it has set up a sort of a celebratory mood across Kashmir. People are ready to vote. They have been waiting for this moment for past many years. And now when it is happening, more and more the participation, if you may look for the nominations filed for the first phase, there are so many nominations. People are interested in contesting these elections, and the locals as well as masses across Jammu and Kashmir are also very enthusiastic about the fact that they'll be able to choose their representatives in the near future.
So, Hakim Rashid, what do you think are the issues that the political parties are bringing to the fore and making people as excited in different constituencies?
When we go through the manifestos released by the political parties as far as Kashmir is concerned, they have maintained that they have raked up the issue of abrogation of Article 370 and 35A. But other than that, they have talked about unemployment, they have talked about the inflation, they have talked about the resources.
Hakim Saab, what about the issue of statehood?
Prime Minister and the Home Minister on the floor of the Parliament have promised that the statehood would be restored. And most of the people thought that this should be restored before the elections. But then when the ECI announced the elections after the SC gave a mandatory suggestion that the elections should happen before September 2024, so people wanted that this should be restored before the elections. But now all the parties have talked about the restoration of the statehood as well. But here, all the political parties have maintained, even the BJP themselves have maintained, that they will strive for the statehood and they will make sure that if they come to power, that will be one of the important businesses that will be listed in the new assembly in the J&K.
Ishfaq, what do you think would be the voter turnout in the Lok Sabha? The participation was to the tune of 58.46%. What is your expectation?
Normally, what has been happening in the past, the trend has been that the voter turnout in assembly elections is far better than what was in the parliamentary election. So the simple expectation would be that voter turnout would be better than what we witnessed past few months ago in the parliamentary elections.
So what does this indicate for you?
It indicates that people have faith in democracy, they have faith in democratic process. They want to put forth their issues, their problems through their representatives so that they are able to get these issues resolved. And there is that the vacuum that was there as far as political notions and political considerations are concerned, that is filled. They are actually able to live a peaceful life, peace, and also live a life with facilities and without issues that a common man faces on a daily basis.
So, Hakim, Irfan, my question to you would be that this is for the first time, I think, 9 scheduled tribes' seats are being reserved. How will they be brought, the scheduled tribes, be brought to the mainstream?
Yes, this is an important step that has been taken by after the delimitation. You have to understand that this is the first election after the delimitation was done in J&K. So with this delimitation, there were new constituencies added to the Kashmir division as well as to the Jammu division. So when these seats were declared as STs, there was a kind of internal rift when the Pahadis were given the ST status. The Gujar community was angry. Gujar and Bakawa community, they said that Pahadis is a linguistic group, so you cannot give them the ST status. But overall, this helped the whole community these reservations to get a voice at a very important platform. And overall, all of them, despite the differences within the community between the Gujar Bakarwal and the Pahari community, but on the ground, all of them are striving hard and they are trying to get the best out of this election because they have been given the 9 seats. And all these 9 seats would be very decisive in the elections, because if there will be a hung assembly or there will be kind of some situation where these important seats, some of the places where independents have also contested, so it will be very important in the government formation as well. And besides that, these their issues which they have always complained were not heard or were not represented by the mainstream politicians who were in the assembly will be represented. And overall, we have seen that the electorate in Kashmir in past few years have realized that they have been relegated to a corner. So not only for the through these 9 seats of tribal STs and by the other general elections as well, the electorate feels that now they can have a say in the whole policy making and at least in the redressal of their grievances. And when we come back to these 9 ST and 7 SC seats, so this will be an important for these communities to raise their issues, and through the representatives who understand the issues and who have a stakeholding in the community, so that they will not only raise the issues but also ensure that these issues are taken to a logical solution and conclusion.
So Ishfaq, what about the women representation during these elections? What about the participation of women, and how excited is the women population to participate in the election process?
If we have seen in the past, there have been women representatives in the assembly. And if we consider the total electorate of Jammu and Kashmir, we have total electorate of around 88 lakh voters across, and among them, around 43 lakh are women. So we can actually argue that women have a say, not only in as far as the representation is concerned, but also in deciding the government. It's a half of the population which will vote towards deciding the future of all the candidates who will be in the fray, and in the larger run, deciding the government that will come to the fore. Women have been, by and large, in Kashmir and in Jammu as well. There is a considerable representation of women voters, as well as the leaders who come forth who are elected to the assembly. We have examples of Sakina Yetu from National Conference. We had a last chief minister of Jammu and Kashmir was a woman itself, Mehbooba Mufti. Her daughter is now contesting from Bijbehara, South Kashmir seat, Iltija Mufti. So there is women, not that set parameters like the SCs and STs, but a large number of women also participate in the elections, and they have been doing very well in the past. And it is expected that their representation in this assembly will be also considerable.
You mentioned about the development issues. Amongst all this, how will the Vikas Yojana be brought forth, and how much of peace is there in top of the agenda of all the political parties?
The platform has already been set. There was the administration in place from 2019 till now. The platform for the so many developmental projects that was initiated in the Narendra Modi-led government in the past, and also in this government as well, for the third term as well. And the platform is there, the schemes are there, and now it is expected that the framework that has been set, it will be carried forward, and it is also expected that wherever the administration has missed upon all these 4 years, the local representatives that are connected to the grassroots, they may be able to penetrate to the lowest strata of the society, and all the segments of the society will be able to benefit from this. These are the expectations and the events that will unfold next month. It will be amply clear by October end, and by the end of this year, that how these political parties and whosoever makes the government will be able to implement that.
We take your point, and hopefully with the new government, all things will be resolved. Hakim, Irfan Rashid and Ishfaq Shah, thank you so much for joining with Akashvani. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You were listening to a discussion on assembly election in Jammu and Kashmir. The participants were Hakim Irfan Rashid, senior journalist, and Ishfaq Shah, Akashvani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289 0914. 4044.